Tasya of him, Lord Rishabhadev. Anugunan, conforming to the instructions for liberation. Shlokan, verses. Gayanti, chant. Aho, oh. Bhuva, of this earthly planet. Sapta samudravatya, possessing seven seas. Dvipeshu, among the islands. Varsheshu, among the lands. Adhipunyam, more pious than any other island. Etat, this, Bharatvarsha. Gayanti, sing about. Yatratrajana, the people of this tract of land. Murare, of Murari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Karmani, the activities. Bhadrani, all auspicious. Avataravanti, in many incarnations, such as Lord Rishabhadev. Translation. Learned scholars chant about the transcendental qualities of Lord Rishabhadev in this way. Oh, this earthly planet contains seven seas and many islands and lands, of which Bharatvarsha is considered the most pious. People of Bharatvarsha are accustomed to glorifying the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnations as Lord Rishabhadev and others. All these activities are very auspicious for the welfare of humanity. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bharata bhumite hoila manushya janma jar janma sartaka kori kara para upakar. As stated in this verse, Bharatvarsha is a most pious land. The followers of Vedic literature understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different incarnations, and they are privileged to glorify the Lord by following the directions of Vedic literature. After realizing the glories of human life, such people should take up the mission to spread the importance of human life throughout the whole world. This is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The word adhipunyam indicates that there are certainly many other pious men throughout the world. But the people of Bharatvarsha are even more pious. Therefore, they are fit to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world for the benefit of all human society. Srila Madhvacharya also recognizes the land of Bharatvarsha. Visheshad Bharate Punyam. Throughout the world, there is no question of Bhagavat Bhakti or devotional service. But the people of Bharatvarsha can easily understand the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, every inhabitant of Bharatvarsha can perfect his life by discharging Bhagavat Bhakti and then preaching this cult throughout the world for the benefit of everyone. Om Jnana Tamarandhasya Jnanam Janashalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dharati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasati Devai Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Desha Tarane. Aho bhuvak sapta samudravatya dvipeshu varsheshvari punyam etat gayanti yatratra jana murare karmani bhadranyavataravanti. Learned scholars chant about the transcendental qualities of Lord Vrishabhadeva in this way. Oh, this earthly planet contains seven seas and many islands and lands of which Bharatvarsha is considered the most pious. People of Bharatvarsha are accustomed to glorifying the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnations as Lord Vrishabhadeva and others. All these activities are very auspicious for the welfare of humanity. So we are very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Pure Devotees of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada, he quotes Madhvacharya in the purport. Visheshad Bharate Punyam. Visheshad Bharate Punyam. Visheshad means more special than any other, Visheshad Bharate Punyam, more special than any other place. Bharat is especially pious. Bharatvarsha. There are certainly other pious places in this material world. If wherever someone is distributing charity, helping others, giving benefit to the poor, helping them with economic development, giving education, medical relief, wherever these things are going on, those are indeed pious activities. And the place where those are going on is a pious place. So there are many pious places. But if you analyze all the seven islands of this Jambudvip, the seven islands of, what is it called? Bhumandala, huh? Seven islands of Bhumandala. And all the different islands, and all the different varshas within the islands. Dvipeshu, varsheshu. Of all the dvipas and all the varshas, Bharatvarsha is adipunyam. It is a special category. It's a special class of punya, special class of piety. And this verse describes, it starts out by, oho, this is a wonderful thing. Such a wonderful thing. Bhuvak sapta samudra vatya dvipeshu varsheshu adi punyam etat. That in all the worlds, this is this place here, Etat. This place is a very special Adipunyam, very special pious place. And why is that? It's described in the second half of the verse. Gayanti yatratra jana murare karmani bhadrani avataravanti. Because here there's glorification of the Lord. That is a special characteristic of Bharatvarsha. That the yatratra jana, the people in that place, gayanti murare karmani bhadrani avataravan, they glorify the Lord. And this glorification is very badra, very auspicious. It is the most of all the different kinds of pious activity that one can perform. The pious activity of glorifying the Lord is the most pious. And that place where the glorification of the Lord is regularly going on, that is the most pious place. So that is why Bharat Varsha is so special. These other places, there may be hospitals, there may be educational institutions, there may be poor feeding, economic development for the general mass of people. All these things may be going on. But and as a general rule, there's no Krishna bhakti. There's no glorification of the Lord. So although it's pious, it's not especially pious like Bharat Varsha. And even if there is some bhakti, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Para Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam, these activities may be going on. Other religious systems are there. They have some concept of these things, of these nine activities of bhakti. So bhakti may be going on to some extent in these other places. Maybe. Occasionally. But even then it is not Shuddha bhakti. It is not pure bhakti. Here in India, Bharat Varsha, there are so many, their devotional service comes naturally to the people. In other places, people go to some mundane river to take bath. Here in India, they go to the Ganga and take bath. Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he makes a statement of proof of how bhakti is available to everyone. Proving bhakti is available to everyone by saying that there's no restriction. Anyone can go to the Ganga in the month of Magh in the early morning and take bath. He said, therefore, bhakti is available to everyone. Very interesting statement. Bhakti, just by going to the Ganga in the month of Magh in the early morning and taking bath, one performs bhakti. Tulsi is there. And many temples are there, established by the great saintly persons. And the holy places of the Lord's pastimes are there. Devotees congregate in those places and they glorify the Lord. So these things are so easily available here in Bharat Varsha. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a very important instruction in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bharata bhumite hoila manushya janma jar janma sartaka kori kara paro upakar. Whoever has taken birth in this land of Bharat Varsha, whoever, janma sartaka kari, they should, first of all, they should make their life successful. This is a precondition. Janma sartaka kari. Having done that, made your life successful, para upakar kara, Then you do good for others. Not just that you take birth in Bharatvarsha and then think, I'm going to help the whole world. No, he doesn't say, Mahaprabhu doesn't say that. He says, Janma sartika kori karapur upakar. That having made your life successful, having fulfilled the purpose of your life, then you do good for others. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. And it's available to everyone who has the good fortune of being born in this land of Bharatvarsha or having some contact with this land. They should make their life successful and then do good to others. This human life, in general, human life is a very rare, special thing. Prahlad Maharaj speaks to his classmates, Komara acharet pragyo, dharman bhagavatan iha, durlabang manushang janma tad adruvam artadam. He's speaking to his classmates. Okay, now you're this human form of life. You've achieved this human form of life. Durlabang manushang janma. You've achieved this very difficult to achieve manusha janma, human form of life. So now, take advantage of it. Use it for its real purpose. Use it to serve Krishna, perform bhakti. So, what to speak of human difficult to take birth into human at all? What to speak of taking birth as a human being in Bharatvarsha? Very great opportunity, very wonderful opportunity. And we should take full advantage of it. There's another verse. 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Very important verse. Labdva sudurlabham idam vahusam bhavante. Manushyam artadam anityam apiha dhira turnam yateta napatet anumritya yavan nikshreya saya vishayak khalu sarvataksyat. Labdvasu durlabam idang bahu sambhavante. After many births, bahu sambhavante, after many, many births, labdvasu durlabam. You've sudurlabham, this very, very difficult human birth, you've achieved. And manusham artadang anityam apiha dhira. This manusha janma is artadam. Also, that's Prahlad Maharaj uses that same word artadam. That in this birth, it gives artha dham. It gives great artha. It gives great opportunity, great value. Excuse me, not opportunity, value. Great value. This great artha, it gives. So, someone who is sober, thus a sober human being, should quickly endeavor for the ultimate perfection of life as long as his body, which is always subject to death, has not fallen down and died. After all, sense gratification is available even in the most abominable species of life, whereas Krishna consciousness is possible only for a human being. Just think of what the great misfortune it would be to have this human form of life and then misuse it and then fall again into the animal species, lower species of life. Such an unfortunate thing it would be. So the Bhagavatam very strongly advises, perfect this life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it his mission. First of all, perfect your life, and then do good for others. In Padma Purana, Lord Shiva is discussing with Parvati about the glories of Bharatvarsha. He says, he lists the special things about Bharatvarsha in Jambudvip. It says, these things are available only in Bharatvarsha of Jambudvip. What are they? The Archamurti one. The deity form of the Lord, where the Lord personally comes to give his darshan. And because of the Archamurti is here, therefore the saints are there. Sadhus are there. He says, yajna is here. Sacrifice, performance of sacrifice is available here in Bharatvarsha and not elsewhere. He says, it's such an auspicious place, Bharatvarsha, that the demigods, they come from the higher planets to Bharatvarsha to do yajna here. Shiva's telling Parvati. The Lord gives his darshan here. He personally comes from time to time and gives his darshan here. He doesn't incarnate anywhere else. He only comes here to Bharatvarsha and in his incarnations. So this is a very special place, and this is a very special birth to be born here. Even the demigods are not so fortunate as those who are born in the human being in the land of Bharatvarsha. Very nice story from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in this regard. Lord Brahma, he was observing the childhood pastimes of Krishna. He saw this 6 or 7 year old boy, Krishna, playing on the bank of the Jamuna with his boyfriends. And they were having lunch together. And some boy was stealing the lunch of Krishna. And Krishna was stealing the lunch of another boy and eating. He said, then after lunch they would play a game. They would fight in pairs. And whoever lost, he had to carry the other one on shoulders. So Krishna was carrying Sridhama on his shoulders. And Lord Brahma is looking at this and wondering, this is God? This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He's just playing like a six, and he has to steal food from his friends, and he's carrying this boy on his shoulders. this can't be God. Everyone is saying that he's God, that he's the supreme personality of Godhead. He was bewildered. He's saying, no, 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 how is this possible? He says, I will test. I will make one test. So he stole all the cowherd boys, put them in a cave, made them go to sleep, and locked up the cave with a big boulder. And then he went to his Brahma Loka just for a few minutes, and he came back 1 year later by earth time, and he sees Krishna's playing with his cowherd boyfriends on the bank of the Yamuna, carrying Sri Dham on his shoulders, stealing lunch from his boyfriends. He says, how is this? I put everyone in the cave. How is this going on? What's going on? So he quickly went to the cave and he looked, checked. Are they still there in the cave? Still sleeping in the cave? He said, yes, yes, they're still sleeping in the cave. And he came back again to Krishna on the bank of the Yamuna. And Krishna's laughing. It's foolish Brahma. He doesn't know. He says, I will teach him a lesson. So he manifests, all the boys manifested forearm Vishnu forms and displayed this, all the opulences of Vaikuntha for Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma was thinking, oh, I made a great mistake. Big mistake. He said, I can see that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And just think of who these boys are, who these other boys are, that are, they're able to play with Krishna like this. People are able to, all the residents of Vrindavan, they're relating with Krishna in such a wonderful, personal, attractive, loving way. He says, this is real fortunate birth. He says, my birth is Brahma. No value. This is real fortunate birth. To be able to be here on this Bharatvarsha. So Brahma, he began to appreciate Bharatvarsha. So we have to take full advantage. Prabhupada says, the followers of Vedic literature understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different incarnations, and they are privileged to glorify the Lord by following the directions of Vedic literature. After realizing the glories of human life, if anything we should learn today from this verse is the importance of human life, especially a human life in Bharatvarsha. And we should, once we realize that, we should resolve, make a strong resolve to perfect our life, to fulfill the purpose of this life, and perform devotional service to Krishna. And then once we've achieved that, to whatever degree we've achieved that, we've achieved devotional service, we've achieved some success in our life, because even a small advancement on this path protects one from rebirth. So once, even if we make a small advancement, we should do good to others. And do good to others, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, doing in the way that He wants you to do good to others. It's not some temporary way that you help them to become free from hunger or free from disease or educated or give them economic development. These things are okay, but this is not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to do real good, permanent good to others. Lasting good, eternal good. Give them bhakti. Encourage them to do bhakti. Encourage them to serve Krishna. After realizing the glories of human life, such people should take up the mission to spread the importance of human life throughout the whole world. This is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus, every inhabitant of Bharat Varsha can perfect his life by discharging Bhagavad Bhakti and then preaching this cult throughout the world for the benefit of everyone. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Questions, comments? Microphone?
During Lord Krishna's time, the whole Bharatvarsh and the whole world was considered as Bharatvarsh. Am I right? In Krishna's time, the whole world was ruled by Yudhishthir and it was considered Bharatvarsh.
That how can we say? Because certainly all the known world was considered to be Bharatvarsh.
No, it is said.
But how do we know? The historians are arguing about it. So how can we know?
Okay, then let's say before independence, the India was including Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, up to Burma and all that. So can we say that when the political India is shrinking, only that is called Bharatvarsh, excluding Pakistan, Bangladesh?
This is your culture, not mine. And according to your culture, Bharatvarsha is considered to be all those places, yes. You know that better than I do.
Pakistan and Bangladesh, they are not totally demoniac countries.
What the Bharatvarsha that the Bhagavatam is talking about, it's not said specifically exactly what is the extent, because the geography described here is different from the geography that we know. But certainly, whatever was known at the time, under the rule of Maharaj Bharat, the son of Rishabhadev, that was Bharatvarsha. And that was the extent of the known world at that time. So how far that extended physically, and according to our understanding of geography, I don't know.
Oh, thank you.
Here, Prabhu has a question.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for a very wonderful class. Prabhuji, my question was a little related with about that only. That when Prabhupada calls, like in different instances, Prabhupada called Bharatvarsha, referring to different things. Like sometimes he said that I am an Indian. I alone Indian could do this much. How many of you Indians could do? Similarly, at other times in his purport, Prabhupada said that Bharatvarsha actually refers to a greater yes. tract of land. So how do we understand? Because we see Prabhupada's disciples also who are very, very much beyond the worth considerations.
You have to understand that Srila Prabhupada was the consummate preacher. Everything, Srila Prabhupada was only meditating on how to spread Krishna consciousness. If he was with an audience of Indians, he wanted to make his audience feel special. So he would preach about Bharatvarsha, meaning what they think to be Bharatvarsha, which means their homeland. Yes, I'm born in India, I should make my life successful and help others by spreading Krishna consciousness. So Srila, but in other circumstance, other contexts, Srila Prabhupada would speak in a different way. The point is that even if you're born in Bharatvarsha, if you don't make your life successful, then you can't do good to others. And even if you're not born in Bharatvarsha, if you're able to make your life successful due to contact with Bharatvarsha or contact from devotees of Bharatvarsha, then you can do good to others. That's the purport. The physical, geographical constraints are a detail for preaching. And we can use them for preaching. Very nice to use them for preaching. More questions? In the back, far back.
Yeah, I just... Hare Krishna. I just wanted to add, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that out of this all the deepas, Jammudip is the best. And in Jammudipa there are 9 varshas. Out of 9 varshas, Bharatvarsha is the best. And in Bharatvarsha, Navadip is the best. And in Navadip, Gadrum is the best.
What is?
Gadrum. In Navadip, Gadrum is the best. And in Godrum there is one very nice place for bhajan, that's Shurubi Kunj.
Dry. Hari Hari Bo. Navadip Dham Ki Jai. Yes, our questioner here. Our topmost questioner.
Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Educational institutions and building hospitals, poor feeding and all that, they are strictly speaking, they are not pious activities. Correct?
They are pious activities. Achha. They are pious activities.
So from the devotee's point of view, it is said paropakara means only spreading Krishna consciousness, giving Krishna consciousness to living entities is pious activity. Because by performing so-called pious activities like hospital and education, he will be creating further bondage for him, isn't it? So what should the devotee do? Should he stop pious activities, so-called pious activities, or concentrate only on Krishna consciousness?
We distinguish between the piety of spreading Krishna consciousness, performing bhakti, is far greater than the piety of opening hospitals, poor feeding, etc. But both are considered to be sukriti. One is called bhakti unmukhi sukriti, another may be called karma unmukhi sukriti. The bhakti unmukhi sukriti leads to bhakti, karma unmukhi sukriti leads to more karma. But we also appreciate these activities such as poor feeding, hospital, opening hospitals, educational institutions. We appreciate them because even if someone has that kind of sukriti, then they are more inclined to associate with devotees. If by chance they come in contact with a devotee, they'll be more inclined to take association and hear from the devotee. Someone who is very sinful and opposed to pious activity comes in contact with a devotee, he's less inclined to hear and take advantage of that association. Okay?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada.